Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We are so glad to see all of you. Happy Mother's Day. And we want to welcome all of you today on this Mother's Day. And a little bit later on, we'll be taking a few moments to honor our mothers. And I have a little prayer litany that will be on the PowerPoint that we will pray through. And you'll be joining with me to do that. And also later on, we'll be talking about, as we continue a little bit in our series about the church, how does the church fit in with Christ's mission? And I'll talk more about that. But we are so glad that you're here today, and we want to welcome all of you on this kind of gloomy, rainy Sunday. And so, but we can be filled with joy in our hearts today. So as we begin our service, let's join together and stand and sing our Gloria Patri. Let's join together for our call to worship there in your bulletins. Clap your hands and shout to God.
We sing with loud songs of joy.
Sing praises to God who fills the world.
With forgiveness and grace.
For God has exalted Christ above all others. Sing praises to God.
The Holy One calls us to worship.
Well, let's join together there. You can turn into your hymn books to hymn number 4, or on the PowerPoint, we're singing verses 1, 3, and 4 this morning. 1, 3, and 4. Together there for our opening prayer this morning. We do not always notice, Abba God, but when we gather in your Son's name, you give us time so we can reflect upon your word, songs so we may fill our empty hearts, wisdom so we may know the path you have for us. For these things and your presence with us, we give you thanks. Amen. And you may be seated there for a moment. We just want to take a few moments to honor our mothers this morning and grandmothers that are with us today. And we are definitely grateful for, and I know just speaking of from my own experience of what my mom and my grandmothers meant to me. It's interesting that this past week I was reminded of them in a variety of ways. When somebody, we were talking about something, it was at Wayne Mullen's funeral. I guess that was 2 weeks ago. Wayne Mullen's funeral, when somebody had made coffee cake and brought it in. And immediately it reminded me of the coffee cake that both of my grandmothers made when I was growing up. And I always loved it. I did not like coffee, but I sure liked coffee cake with that cinnamon crunchy stuff on top. Yum. And what that meant. And then this week when I was doing some cleanup in the kitchen, and I was reminded, for some reason, of all those years that Mom cooked and cleaned and straightened up and didn't say a word, and she did it as if it was her service and her gift to us as her kids. I don't think I ever heard my mom complain once about having to do the dishes and clean up. Now, she would invite us to do it when we got older, but yes. And so I had shared some of these years ago, maybe last year, a couple years ago, I can't remember. That might not have been last year, the way everything fell. But I've shared a few of these. I think I shared a few of them from the first page, but I'm going to share a couple of them just real quick, and then we'll take a moment to honor our mothers then. And this is "My Mother Taught Me." My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. My mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes at me, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me... No, I better not share that one. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. Oh, this might be the most famous. Your mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. One more. My mother taught me about my roots. Shut the door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? Just a few of them there this morning. But we want to just take a moment to say thank you. So I'm going to ask all our mothers and grandmothers and maybe if you maybe didn't have your own children, but you were like a mother to your nieces and nephews and others, would you all stand for just a moment? I'm going to have you stand for a moment. And we want to just take a moment to just honor each of them this morning. Let's do that this morning. Yes, it's so good to see all of you. Thank you so much for everything that you do for families and just, I mean, schools. We could go on and on and on. Now, I'm going to ask you to sit. A lot of times I have you stand when we pray, but because we're going to do the litany, I want us all to be able to see it. So go ahead and have a seat. And, I forgot to flip that over, didn't I? But I want us to join together. Now, this is going to be like our call to worship. So there's going to be responsive reading. I will read the plain text, and then you will speak out the words that are underlined and in italics. So it should make it easy for you, and we'll do it responsively then this morning. So let's join together there. We thank you for the women who raised us, who were our mothers in childhood, whether birth moms, adopted moms, foster moms, older sisters, stepmothers, or someone else.
We pray for all our mothers and ask that you be with them and guide them.
We thank you for those women who held us and fed us, who cared for us and kissed away our pain. We thank you, Lord, for the women who have influenced our lives in so many ways. Give them wisdom, energy, courage, and strength. We pray that we will honor them in everything we do. Amen. Amen this morning. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to sing our next hymn. This is not in the hymn book this morning, but I have it. Some of you may remember this from camp or something of that nature. They will know we are Christians by our love. And we're just going to sing two verses this morning. Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know. Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God
God is in our land, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
I can remember as a teenager and even younger going to Gideon conventions with my mom and dad, and the youth, when the youth always got together, we always sang that every year. That is what the church is all about right there. And maybe we'll sing the other two verses one of these Sundays. Well, I'm going to invite our kids to come on down this morning. You're the next contestants on. Okay, I have a question this morning for you. And it's going to go right off of this one. How do we, the church, how do we fit with Christ's mission? Have you ever heard somebody, maybe your parent or grandparent or someone tell you, they live in your heart and you carry them with you? Have you ever heard anybody say that before? You haven't. You know, sometimes say that when somebody dies or passes away and we're going to miss them. And sometimes people say, well, you know what? They still live through you as long as you carry them with them or carry them with you. And sometimes that's what people say when you've lost somebody important to you. Well, guess what? That same thing is true with Jesus. We carry Jesus with us. His presence lives inside of us. And so we carry His presence with us to other people that we interact with. And so when we just sang that song, they will know we are Christians or followers of Jesus by our love. And when we love others and show that to them, we are sharing Jesus' presence with them. And that's how we extend His hands and feet to others. Okay? I'm going to keep it short today. You can go on downstairs.
All right. We want to go to our time of prayer this morning. And Kathy, real quick again, because I didn't get to write it down. May 22nd, what times?
9 to 11.
Okay. 9 to 11. I'm assuming that's a Saturday, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. So as we go to our time of prayer, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning that we can pray about this morning.
Artificial knee, and she woke up without a knee.
Oh my gosh.
And they don't know what they're going to do about it. So just pray for strength and comfort and for the doctors, please.
Wow. We definitely want to keep Shelly in our prayers, who had a reaction to the metal, or however it is. I don't even know what they use now.
She went to the FDA to see what was in it, to see what she might be.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes, definitely need to keep her in our prayer. Somebody else, I saw some other hands. Yeah, go ahead.
My sister-in-law, Debbie, lost her brother-in-law after many hard years of suffering to get better. He was God for him.
Okay, I couldn't hear what she was saying. Can somebody tell me what she was talking?
Steve Fleckenstein. It's Debbie's brother-in-law.
Oh, so he lost them.
Yes.
Okay, pass. So it's Fleckenstein? I just need the last name if we're praying for the family. I'm not sure how to spell that name, but oh well. Okay, so we want to remember that family in our prayers this morning. Someone else, yes.
My family lost a nephew a couple days ago. Horrible accident.
Okay, so do you want that as Welker family or? Okay. Boy. Someone else. Yeah.
I want to just say a nice prayer for my dear friend Bill Schreiber. I think his wife roughed him up a little bit and he's kind of. I hope he gets to feel better.
And we're glad to see you back, too. We heard you were having some issues with your kidneys.
When did you get back to Florida? Because you have tan.
No, not tan, a burnt red this morning. Yes, we were 5 hours out at a baseball game, and Jody goes, boy, you're burnt. And she goes, why didn't you put any sunscreen on? I was like, I didn't even think about it. But yes, so Bill's having back issues? Okay. So we want to remember him this morning. And so someone else. I know there's other hands.
Keep Paul in your prayers as he got word that they probably will not be coming this year to visit. But he is still trying to build his company and his leg is on the mend.
Okay, good. I was thinking about him when we heard how bad it was getting in some of the cities in India. Thank God.
He says that it's coming.
I know. In fact, he came to my mind this week and I prayed for him and his family that God would protect them because when you sometimes would hear the stories, it about breaks your heart. And so there were some other ones here. I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Can I ask you if you can pull it down partway? Because you sound like you're mumbling to me. Okay.
And Linda Baker is doing better. Linda Eric, we need to pray for. And then I have several joys. One of them is that I visited down her stall, and she's going to be 100 in July, and I don't know how many know her, but she is herself. I'm telling you, I just couldn't believe how wonderful it was to see her. And Friday night, that rainbow, some people thought, too, that was coming.
Yes, I saw half a dozen pictures on Facebook of how beautiful the bright and colors were, yes.
And Wednesday, the prayer group went and took 21 blankets. And, this time we took the play pans, but we toured the abuse center and... that was wonderful. And
yeah.
To me, seeing Betty Cook here today is wonderful.
Yes, that is a blessing. Yes. And thank you to the prayer group that's been doing those kind of things. That's what it's about. And when I've been trying to talk about the church, and I'll talk more about that and what those kind of things are doing when we do those things. So someone else. Yes. I saw that. Yes. Happy birthday, Elizabeth. Happy birthday. She's eating, so that's a serious time there. Somebody else. Yes. Okay. Anyone else then this morning? Yeah. Yeah, when I saw that name online, I did not know who that was, so.
He was a football player at Miami. He graduated with the class of 2007, I believe, or 2005.
Oh, that was my first year of subbing then. Okay.
The class it was four, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But, he was 35.
You say collared?
Collared,
C-U-L-L-E-R-S. Okay, so we want to remember that family in our prayers with the loss of that one. And I thought I saw another one. Yeah.
Uh, that is rescheduled for the 19th.
Okay, yes. Yeah, let's do that. Someone else. Yes. Yes, I saw from pictures that she traveled with you down to Florida.
No, she traveled back.
Oh, back. Okay, gotcha.
I flew down and rented a car and we drove back.
Okay.
And I finally got over the softball pole that I had all week.
Oh, thank God for that. Yes, thank God for that. Anybody else this morning? Yes, we want to remember Rita this morning. And you put Shelley on there. Okay, I got that one. Yes, so we want to remember Rita and Junior, and continue praying for them. Continue praying for Jody's dad, who I believe may this week be getting treatments again. Also asking for prayers for Amy Hall. I don't know if you know her. She is the secretary at the high school. Has been there 2 or 3 years now. The sweetest lady she takes care of everything. Has something going on with her system, and they don't know what it is, and they can't figure it out. And she needs our prayers this morning. I appreciate your prayers for Amy. And then Jake is doing much better. They taken him out of ICU, and he's in the step down. But appreciate your continued prayers for him this morning. So as she plays this morning, give you a chance to pray, and then I will come and close us out. Just so thankful today. We are thankful for your goodness in our lives, the blessings that come. And Lord, as we prayed and shared together, we are thankful for our mothers and our grandmothers and what they mean to us and who they were and are in our lives. And Lord, we pause just for a moment this morning as we remember and think about our moms, our grandmothers that are no longer with us. And we say thank you for them and what they mean and what they meant to us. God, we're so thankful that in the midst of everything that we face in life, that we can turn to you and you are there with us. And Lord, we want to lift up those that have been mentioned today, many of them. Lord, we pray for Shelley today, who's having this reaction to putting in a new knee. God, we just ask that there would be a way and that they'll be able to get that worked out to be able to fix that. Lord, we lift up Bill to you this morning, who's been battling some back issues, God, for your healing touch for him, for Paul and his family. Thank you, Lord, that his leg is on the mend. We ask that you would continue to do that, but we also pray that you will keep him and his family safe during this time and everything that's going on in India right now where it's so bad. God, your healing grace and your touch. And Lord, we lift up Trevor today, God, who needs a real miracle today. Lord, asking for your touch. We lift up Linda, Lord, although she's recovering, she still has some issues going on there. And we just ask your continued healing touch there. And Lord, for Linda Everett, God, who just needs some healing touch today, your grace and peace today. Lord, we lift up Andy, who's recovering from COVID, but still having some issues, Lord, asking for your continued healing hand and touch upon him. Lord, we pray that you will just grant favor for Mike with this MRI coming up here in the next week or so, that that will be able to take place. Lord, we thank you for the good report that we've heard about Jake, and we just ask that you will just continue to bring healing there. And Lord, we lift up Junior and Rita. Lord, we're thankful Junior's back home from the hospital, but Lord, now we know that Rita's in the hospital. She had a stroke. Lord, we're just asking for your healing grace for them and peace for the family today. Lord, we lift up Bruce, Lord, and I believe he is going to be starting treatments here this week or maybe the next week. I just can't remember. But Lord, you know, and we just ask that you will be with him, give him strength and healing during this time. And Lord, we just lift up Amy, God, as she is battling this and the doctors can't quite figure out what's going on. We just ask for wisdom and guidance. And we just pray for your healing hand and touch and grace and strength for her as she's still trying to work and sometimes she's not always there. And Lord, that you will just help and make a way there as only your presence can today. And Lord, we lift up the others. We lift up the Fleckenstein family, the Welker family, Lord, the Collier family. Lord, we're just asking for your peace today, for your grace today, for those families that lost loved ones, that you will be with them and let them know that you are real and that you care in our loss and in our hurt. Thank you for hearing us today. Ask your blessing upon the rest of the time of our service today and just bless our mothers in the weeks and months to come. As we thank you for all of these things this morning, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. We know that God is the one who provides and makes a way where there seems to be no way. And he's the one that gives us the power to be able to work hard and create wealth and to be creative. So as we celebrate that this morning, let's sing our doxology and then we'll join together for our dedication. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and let's join together for our dedication. God of all creation, Savior of all, use our gifts to meet the needs of your church and bring hope to those in need of your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from two passages. We're going to look at the one passage that we looked at last week. From Ephesians, I shortened it. Hang on a minute here. I shortened it a little bit because I wanted to read some pertinent verses there. And then we're going to be reading from our new passage will be from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. So you can follow along this morning. God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and sat him at God's right side in the heavens,
far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power. Any power that might be named, not only now, but in the future. God put everything under Christ's feet and made him the head over everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, is the fullness of Christ, who fills everything in every way. And then in Revelation, I chose this passage because it helps us to understand what Christ's mission is in the world. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." He also said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will be pleasing in God's sight. Amen and amen. Well, I've shared this one before, but in light of a little bit of Mother's Day and maybe a little bit of Dad thrown in there too, I thought I would share this one this morning. One day, a mother was out while Dad was in charge of their little daughter. Someone had given the young daughter a new little tea set. And it was one of her favorite toys. Daddy was in the living room engrossed in the evening news when his little daughter brought the daddy a little cup with just a little water in it. After several cups of tea and lots of praise from daddy for how yummy the tea was, mom came home. Well, as dad was waiting in the living room to watch his little daughter bring her another little cup because it had just been the cutest thing, mom waited. And sure enough, here come the little daughter down the hallway again with daddy, and she watches daddy as he drinks it. Then mom says, as only a good mother would, "Did it ever occur to you that the only place where she could get water is the toilet?" Yeah, I know. Sometimes we can be clueless, us guys here, or dads. I want to talk to you this morning about the church as Christ's presence in the world. Way back when I first kind of started into this, I had talked about the church as Christ's healing presence in the world. But I want to talk a little bit more broadly this morning about what God is doing. And the passage from Revelation, part of that is yet future. No more crying, no more death, no more tears, and all of that. But there's a part in there where it talks about what God's mission or what God desires for the world. And Christ is the one that carries out that mission. And so we're going to say it this way this morning. I wish I would have put it on the PowerPoint so you could have kind of seen it there, and I didn't. But I want to say this. Christ's mission is to restore all creation to God's presence. Christ's mission is to restore all creation to God's presence. That's what we see in that reading from Revelation 21 this morning, where it talks about how God will dwell with humankind.
That is what has been fully established. A little bit, we talked about how that had ups and downs last week through history and creation and everything. And as the writer of Revelation foresees, a new creation is coming, made up of a new Jerusalem. Now, when I went to Bible college, the people that didn't read that carefully, one of my professors, God bless him, he'd gone to be with the Lord a long time ago, he said that that is literally a city. But if you read it and its description and how it's used there in 21 and 22, he's talking about the church. The church who is the bride of Christ, who is going to be there, and it's going to be a part of this, and God's going to dwell, and there's going to be mutual indwelling. And if you read into chapter 22, we're going to find out how the nations, and I don't know how that all fits together, are going to be a part of all of this. So God is wanting to restore things. And God and the Lamb are going to be at the Lamb, meaning Jesus, is going to be at the very center of what God is wanting to do. And that has begun now already on earth with the church. If this is where God is taking the world, then my question for us this morning, as you saw there, is how does the church fit in with this message? And the answer to this question goes to the heart of the question that I asked. I can't remember if it was last week. I think it was last week. Is why does God need the church? And so we begin this morning with this, first of all. Two things I want to say to you. First of all, Christ's presence dwelling in the church. That's how it begins. So we're going to say this. Christ's reigning presence among us is restoring God's presence to the church. Some people, or God's presence to the world. Some people, now listen to this. Some people think God will be restored to the world through earthly governmental legislation. That you, if you've watched politics in America and a few other places, Australia and some other places, a lot of Christians think that's how you restore God to a place, is by voting a certain way or getting certain laws passed. That has nothing whatsoever to do about God being in a place. That's natural thinking. That's the thinking of men and women and power and stuff like that. That has nothing to do with any of that stuff. And there are some that think you do it by force, with military power and throwing people into jail and getting them to do what we want them to do because we believe a certain way. That has nothing to do with the kingdom. Jesus, if you read through the Gospels very clearly, he made clear that's not the way my kingdom works. That's the way the kingdoms of the world work. When in reality, it is through Christ's loving presence dwelling in and through the church that God is restoring his presence to the world. And Jesus makes it clear that his way of doing things and his reigning presence is not like that of earthly kings. Jesus said it this way. Listen to his words. The kings of the earth lord it over their subjects. But not so with you. Now, when he's talking about lording it over, he's talking about with their authority and their power, making people do what they want to happen. But he says that is not to be so with you. And if you go on and read when that appears in the Gospels, then Jesus has his famous teaching. You want to be great in God's kingdom, in God's reigning presence, you learn to be the servants of all. Total difference. And the sad thing is, and I remember the first time I sat through two quarters of church history, the church has never learned that lesson. We're still trying to make things, bring God's kingdom in and make things happen through force and violence and having it our way and killing all people that we don't agree with. And if you go back and read church history, it's even worse Why? Because this is the way Christ's presence works. Christ's presence works powerfully and peaceably through his body, which we read in Ephesians, which is the church. Whenever, and here's what I want to say about this. Whenever we, the church, when we gather, when we worship together, when we make space for Christ's presence in our midst, God's power will be made manifest. And new creation takes place. When the church follows Christ's ways in love and gentleness and extends his presence out through our lives. Remember those little sayings Jesus said? I always kind of wondered how they all fit in together. But if you think about it like this, they make sense. Remember he said, I want you to be wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. He's talking about a different way of being God's people. Or where he talks about, Paul says, it's about faith working through love. Or where Paul tells Timothy, let everyone see your gentleness. That's the way we win the world. Because that's when the world will take notice. That's Christ's presence dwelling in the church. Now, what about Christ's presence flowing in the church and then into the world? And if you want to say out into the world, you can say it that way. And here's what I want you to say. I almost wanted to say this earlier when I talked about this, about making room for Christ's presence in our midst. But this is the further extension of that. Think about this. When the church makes space for Christ's presence, people's lives are changed. In the 30, 40 some years that I have not only been in ministry, but even before that, involved in churches when I was a teenager and different things, I have seen this happen. When we gather and we welcome Christ's presence, people's lives are changed. I've seen bodies healed. I've seen relationships restored. I've seen needs met, and I've seen people flourish. Now, that doesn't mean they're perfect, and that doesn't mean that they go out and they live perfect lives and no problems ever happen. But it says that something has changed, and that's because we are touched. So when we gather, the whole purpose of gathering is so that we can experience Christ's presence. That's why. Why? Why is that? Here's my point. Because we live as his followers out of the overflow of his presence in our lives. In other words, I can't do this on my own. I can't minister on my own. Every time, every Sunday, during the week when I'm putting a sermon together or teaching, Lord, please help me. Teach me. Open my eyes to see things. Flow through me when I preach. Speak through me. You know, he knows that I write down things and have it on here, but sometimes I say more than that. Sometimes I don't say what's in here. You know, and the same is true in our lives and everything we do. We function and operate and carry his presence forth because we are living from week to week. I've heard you guys say it. I've heard every church I've pastored. Thank you, Pastor. God has been so good. I come in here and I get filled up so I can go out and make it through the week and try to be a blessing. That's what it's all about. That's what we're called to do because we operate out of the fullness or the overflow of his presence. And that's how we can minister and be a blessing because his presence is our very existence. And here's what I'm saying. The church has been called to participate in Christ's mission by being his fullness in the world. Let me say something here, and this might shock you. I read it by David Fitch this week. I talked to you about his book, The Church. And he said this, and it really struck me hard. And I thought, oh, Lord, I probably said this wrong for years, decades. The church is not on its own mission. Instead, we are part of Christ's mission. The German theologian Jürgen Moltmann, one of my favorite theologians, once said it like this. It is the mission of the Son, Jesus Christ, through the Spirit that includes the church. In other words, Christ invites us on his mission to make God's presence known in the world by the power of the Spirit. I have seen that happen in so many different ways through my life, even before I left for Bible college to study for ministry. How God, and I was just being myself, and how by being myself, Christ's presence in me touched people in my high school that I didn't even know that touched them till later. And that may be true about your life too. We don't have to preach at people. We don't have to point fingers at people or any of that stuff. What we got to do is be there and love and serve. Why? Because here's what I want you to see. We become Christ's faithful presence in the world so that the world will know that God and Christ are real and present even in our world's struggles and pain. And over the next weeks, I hope to say more about how the church makes space for Christ's presence when we gather. If that's what's important so that we can carry it forth with us out of here, how do we do that? And I'm going to talk more about that in the weeks to come here. Okay, amen, amen. Well, let's go ahead and we're going to get ready to sing our little chorus here this morning as we close out. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. It's found on page 214, or you can sing along with it right up there. So let's stand together as we sing and close out this morning. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. If you didn't know it, now let's sing it out. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go this week clothed with Christ's presence from on high.
Christ's loving presence fills with us this week.
May the power of the Holy Spirit go with us this week as we walk in God's wisdom and goodness. Amen. Amen. Amen.